Today we dim the house lights and take the tabs out to reveal, first of all, a superb novel about the theatre by Michael Blakemore called Next Season. It's just come out again in paperback, and Michael Blakemore talks to me about the smell of the Leichner and the roar of the four pensioners at the Thursday matinee. Edmund White's autobiographical novel, The Beautiful Room is Empty, is a sequel to his earlier success, A Boy's Own Story. He talks to me about gay America in the 50s and 60s. And from the 60s too, Bob Dylan is the subject of a new biography by ex-New York Times folk and rock reviewer Robert Shelton. So, music, memories and mimesis, all on bookshelf today.
Nigel Ford, and he'll be back in half an hour. But who's this coming slowly towards us, swathed in black? Ah, of course, it's the man himself, with another tale of terror. So sit back for 30 minutes of fear on four.
Ladies and gentlemen, once more, welcome. Today's story is number 6 in the list, and I notice in my book of numerology that the number 6 is associated with the power of prophecy. Certainly today's story features that power, and a very frightening prophecy it is. In a small churchyard beneath a perfect summer sky, two people look down into an open grave, 6 feet deep. One of them is crying. The other is beyond tears. This is the story of the one they mourn. I invite you then to listen to story number 6 and to consider every detail but one.
You're listening to Chatline with me, Hazel Brown. And today's expert in the studio, Jonathan Weiss.
Hello.
He'll be talking to us about the paranormal, psychic phenomena, ghosties and ghoulies and things that go...
Oh, work? Oh, sorry, kiddo. Shouldn't be teaching it, I swear. Well, not yet, any rate. Oh, we're home, Bath. Home again, jiggity-jig. Kettle first or messages? Righty-ho. Messages. And kettle.
Hello, Jenny. Don't get excited. It's only Leslie. Just wanted to remind you about lunch tomorrow. 1:30, usual place, okay? See you. Bye, Baz. Hey, Jen. I bet he's a girl. Jennifer, this is your mother, and I hate this infernal contraption. I'm calling to remind you to watch that Esther Ranson program tomorrow on BBC One. She's been through it herself, so she knows what she's talking about. I hope you're getting plenty of rest. Basil needs sleep. Goodbye for now, dear. Oh, your father sends his love.
Okay, Mother, what have you forgotten? Oh, come on, Mum, there's always something.
Beef tea, eating for two.
Don't go out when there's a full moon. Oh, wonderful. It's an event, Bas. Our first heavy breather. Listen, freak, you can moan as long as you like. See if we care. Come on, Bob. It's tea time.
Jenny. Help me.
Well, it's important to sort out your definitions. If we're talking about a tangible manifestation of something with a clear and definite form...
A ghost?
A ghost, if you like. Well, then, I'd have to say that that was pretty rare. But there are lots of other things.
So, was it a hell of a shock?
No, not really. Yes, a bit. Maybe jumpy.
Yes. And you can do without that sort of thing, particularly at the moment.
Please. Next thing, you'll be telling me to put my feet up and start eating for two.
I seem to have hit a nerve.
It's labelled Mother.
Sorry. It's my envy showing.
Oh, Liz.
Oh, I'm all right. Tell me more about your heavy breather.
Well, he wasn't really. More a hoarse whisperer. Come to think of it, I'm not even sure it was a he.
God save us, whatever happened to sisterly solidarity?
Leslie, I think I prefer your wise old motherly advice act.
Sorry, but listen, seriously.
Seriously, though,
listen, sometimes that sort of thing can hit you harder than you know. With delayed shock, you'd be surprised.
Look, I'm okay. And it's never going to happen again.
I could quote you literally hundreds of cases of telepathy, divination, distant viewing, that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. We're covering everything from premonitions to poltergeists today. So whether you're a believer or a skeptic, keep listening.
I got plenty of nothing. No offense, Baz. Kettle or... Oh, my messages. What did I tell you, Leslie? Good.
Hello, this is Jenny Waterman. I can't come to the phone.
Come on.
But please record a message after the tone. Thanks for calling.
Come on!
Jen, don't get excited. It's only Leslie.
Oh.
Just wanted to say I'll bet you my entire collection of Lady Penelope comics that your whispering wonder person hasn't rung again. Am I right or am I right?
Hello, Les.
Jenny, you're a fraud. You're there all the time.
No, I'm not. This is just a cardboard replica.
Goon show references. Now who's showing their age? How are you, the two of you?
We're fine. Mind you, one of us nearly jumped out of...
Jen? Jenny, you there?
Who's there?
What? You got a crossed line?
Les, can't you hear it?
Jenny, what's wrong?
But can't you?
I can't hear anything. Not a thing.
No!
What can you hear? Is it him again?
He knows my name. Les, he knows who I am. Leslie!
I'm here, but I can't hear anyone, Jenny. Are they still there?
God. What do you mean, help you? Who are you? Yes, still there.
Right. Now, listen to me, whoever you are. If you are not off this line in 10 seconds dead, I'll have the law on you faster than you can say, "Tag me in later." Have you got that, you bastard?
Go away, leave me alone!
Jenny, hang up. Hang up.
It's gone. Oh, God, Les.
Jen, you still there? Take your phone off the hook and sit tight. I'm coming round.
Now, it seems to me that there could be a perfectly rational explanation for that one, yes?
Yes, Hazel, I would think so. It's important to remember that 99% of all the cases we investigate turn out to be a complete blank.
Now, let me make sure I've got this straight. There's been 2 calls altogether, the same voice and the same words.
That's right. No, sergeant, not quite. No words the first time.
But it was the same man.
Same person. Yes, it was. I'm sorry.
You're sorry? Let the freak apologize.
Yes, please. It all seems a bit silly now, just some sort of stupid joke.
Do you know anyone likely to play that sort of joke on you? Your husband, maybe?
I don't have a husband.
Ah, well, some friend, then?
This friend put the wind up our good and proper. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I'm sorry, but there's not very much we can do.
Oh, great. Leslie, it's all right. Even if it does happen again, I can handle it.
Yeah, that's the way. Look, try leaving the answering machine on all the time, even when you're at home. Mm. If he persists, that might well put a stop to it. Other than that, the only advice I can give you is to have your number changed.
Oh, great. 3 weeks' wait and £50 on the bill.
I'm sorry, please ignore her.
My pleasure.
If this were Dixon of Dock Green, we'd have got a cup of tea at least.
Well, it isn't.
Thanks, really. Come on, Les. Goodbye, officer.
Good evening. Oh.
You sure you're going to be all right now?
Yes, stop fussing.
Right, now get yourself indoors. It's freezing.
Yes, Mother. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Basil.
Idiot. And Les.
That's me.
Thanks.
Some of the best evidence we have is for poltergeist cases.
That's things flying around the room.
Well, that's one symptom. Or it could be unusual odors, colored lights, changes in air temperature, in a few cases, even unexplained sounds.
So, naturally, when you didn't answer, I didn't get your machine thing. I was worried.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mum, I was out. I forgot to switch it on.
Out where?
With Leslie.
Do I know him?
Her. Leslie Parditer. Oh, college chum.
So, everything's all right.
Fine. How are you and Dad?
I'm in perfect health. Your father, I'm sorry to say, has regressed even further and is slumped in the corner, deeply immersed in the adventures of someone called Green Lantern.
Well, give him my love.
I shall. And mine to you and Basil. Now, go and
put your feet up. I know.
Scoff if you like, but that sort of advice never did me any harm. You were a perfect baby. God knows how your father managed it.
Bye, Mum. Thanks for calling.
Goodbye, dear. And don't forget Esther Ransom.
How could I? Bye. No. I'll leave you on the table. Okay, Baz. Oh, I'm a coward. Now, Terry, arms, feet up. Oh, down. No. Please, no.
Of course not.
Do you hear that, Baz? We're not off to mother care for a maternity straitjacket after all. If I'm not going mad, then what the hell's happening to me?
Simple. Simple. You've had a couple of damn stupid phone calls from some idiot man with the intellectual capacity of a washing machine, and you quite naturally got upset. Then you fell asleep in front of the telly, and your subconscious did the rest.
You're saying I dreamt it?
Got it in one.
No.
Yes, of course, yes. Has it happened again?
No, not yet.
Jenny.
No, it hasn't.
And it won't. Not if you tell yourself that everything's fine.
That's so glib, Les.
Yeah, I know. I'm lousy at giving advice.
I think you're very good.
Well, while you're in this mood, here's some more. When you get home tonight, do the both of you a favour and get some decent sleep. Go straight to bed. Give Crossroads a miss for once.
God, you're a hard woman. Right, we will.
Well, I could quote you several cases where people have seen an individual when he or she was actually miles away. Quite often, the distant person gives, or tries to give, some kind of important information, sometimes a warning.
If some kind of disaster?
It's been known. But sometimes the message is a more personal one. This sort of experience usually happens between people who are linked in some way. A twin, say.
You know, kiddo, I think you should go on a diet. Oh. Never mind, Baz. Only 5 weeks and 3 days to go. Good night.
Jen, it was a dream, that's all. The old subconscious.
I was awake. I heard that voice.
Jenny, now, be reasonable. A heavy breather, I can understand. A crossed line, fine. Okay, it happens all the time. But a nighttime visitor who calls your name and then vanishes when you put the light on. It was a dream.
Why won't you believe me? I'm telling the truth.
Oh, shh. All right. We've had a hell of a shot. Come on. It's all right. Shh. Come on. You're coming home with me.
When someone has a psychic or paranormal experience, it often affects them very deeply. Their whole picture of the world is suddenly turned completely upside down. Now, coming to terms with that is frequently more traumatic than the experience itself.
Do people come to terms with it?
Well, some do. Others refuse to recognize the nature of the experience in the first place.
As a defense mechanism?
Or out of simple ignorance. They just don't realize what's happening to them.
She's asleep.
Oh, at last. Did you take the pills? Well, she should have done. She was in a hell of a state.
Does that to you? I'm told.
Oh, come on, love.
I'm sorry.
What for?
Oh, everything. relieved that I'd come to terms with it, you know.
I know. Me too.
I've sort of been living through it with Jenny, and now she's practically about to have the
thing. Oh, shh. I wish there was something I could do.
There isn't.
Yeah, I know.
So sorry, Tim.
Will you please stop saying that?
Bully, let her apologize if she wants to.
Go right ahead and apologize, Jenny. Don't mind me. I'm only the man of the house.
How did you sleep?
All right, I think.
No more problems?
Oh, will you listen to Mr. Tack?
It's okay, Les. No, Tim. No problems.
And everything's all right?
Les? Oh, yes. Alive and well and kicking me to death.
Sorry, Jonathan, I don't really understand about the time difference thing.
It's quite straightforward. There's a theory that when you see a ghost, you're actually seeing someone who was there in the past. And the same thing may well be true for other phenomena. It's like a sort of occult recorded replay.
So, what's the verdict?
Mother and offspring doing fine.
Great, I knew it.
X-ray vision now, is it?
Absolutely. I also leap tall buildings at a single bound. Excuse me while I slip into this telephone box.
Idiot. Let's go and have some lunch.
But that's even harder to accept.
Funny, isn't it? That a subject which is itself more or less incredible should have some aspects which are tougher to take than others. But it's true. It's not even all that rare. The concept of a fate or destiny that's mapped out for you, whatever you try to do to change it, is something you find in the myths and legends of every race on Earth.
You know, you look so much better.
Amazing what a couple of days of normal company can do to a person.
And about normal.
I was being polite.
Heavens, you have changed.
You haven't.
It's too late for that. And a lot of other things.
Oh, God, Liz.
What?
I'm really sorry about all this.
Oh, for goodness sake.
The way I've been pushing myself down your throat.
Rubbish.
It's not rubbish. I know how much having a family means to you and Tim. So, whammo, there I go, with all the tact of an expectant elephant, taking over your lives day and night.
Shut up, idiot. I'm glad we were there to help.
So am I. Or rather, so are we. Aren't we, Baz?
It's great the way you talk to him all the time. Any day now, he'll surprise you and answer back. Jen, what on earth's the matter?
Jenny! Take me home! I've got to get home!
I am not leaving you alone.
Oh, yes, you are. You must.
Just tell me what's happening. What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry. I know I've not exactly been myself lately, and I'm grateful for everything you've done, but please, I know what I'm doing, and I know what I want. I want to be left here on my own, please.
Just a couple of days
ago. Will you please get out?
Anything should happen to you.
Go!
You can always ring if you...
Just go, for God's sake! I don't want you here!
Okay, Jenny. Bye.
For some people, the intensity of a psychic experience, the feeling of unique insight, becomes desperately bound up with the fear that the link, whatever it is something amazingly fragile and tenuous, something that could be irretrievably and permanently broken at any moment.
Talk to me. Talk to me, damn you. Baz? The phone. I don't know what you need. You can use the TV, like you did before. But I'm switching it on. There. Like before. Now talk to me. What do you want? Does it have to be dark? Like this? Is that it? Shall I shut my eyes? What? Oh, talk to me!
Jenny.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
I can hear you.
Help me. How?
Tell me.
How?
really you? Are you my baby?
Yes.
What? I can't hear you.
Dying.
Yes. Yes, go on.
Dying.
Oh, no.
Dying.
You said I could help. You said so. What can I do? Oh, tell me.
Have we got time for one last case?
Yes, I think so.
Well, it's an interesting one, I think. And it sums up some of the things we've been talking about. NASA, the space people in America, had a series of phone calls from a woman who warned them that their next space shuttle flight was going to crash and everyone on board was going to be killed. She'd seen it in a vision.
My God.
Is she going to die?
There's no way to think that.
Please, yes, I want to know.
Oh, slightly. She's lost an hell of a lot of blood. We get people sometimes, you know, they slash the wrists or whatever. But you can tell somehow they didn't really mean it. She meant it.
What about the baby?
Well, with the gear we've got in here, I can't tell for sure, but we'll be there in a couple of minutes. Then we're not.
NASA get a lot of crank calls, of course, but something about this woman stopped them from just dismissing her out of hand. She told them technical details that an ordinary member of the public shouldn't have known.
Dr. Evans to room 307, please.
Darling.
Hello.
The traffic was appalling. What's happening? How is she?
Jenny's dead.
Oh, God. Are you all right?
They're trying to save the baby.
Do they think they can?
Trying. Oh, Tim, it's all my fault.
What the hell do you mean?
I should have realized the state she was in. I shouldn't have left her on her own.
Oh, Leslie, listen to me. It isn't your fault. You can't blame yourself. Do you hear me?
Mrs. Partiter, is this your husband?
Yes, hello.
How is he, the baby?
She.
Mrs. Partiter. What? A little girl. We've got her in an incubator, of course, but all the signs are that she's going to be fine.
This woman's vision had apparently shown her one of the main fuel tanks on the shuttle a rupturing on takeoff.
That's incredible. That's exactly what happened.
No, it isn't.
What?
They took her seriously enough to check the tank. It was in perfect condition. The shuttle lifted off with no problems and the flight was a textbook success.
Come to bed, love. Are you all right? Oh, I'm sorry. That's a stupid question.
Yes, it is. She was still alive when I found her. Did you know that?
Yes. Try to stop thinking about it.
I hope the baby's all right.
Yeah. I've been thinking.
Yes?
About... Well, we've never really talked about adopting.
No.
Perhaps we should.
Adopt?
Talk about it at least. We ought to find out about the requirements. Do you think... No.
What?
We'll talk about it in the morning.
Jenny's baby?
In the morning.
Right. When I
I broke in and found her.
Yes.
When I found her, I thought at first it was the baby, you know. And then I realized what she'd done. But she was still alive. She spoke to me. I had to get right down beside her to hear. Got her blood all over my dress. She said, "My baby's dead." Over and over again, "My baby's dead, my baby's dead, my baby's dead."
The flight was perfect. But wait a minute. When was this exactly?
Ah, now that's the point. This woman's vision was in January 1985, a whole year before the shuttle disaster.
But she got it right in every detail.
Every detail but one. She took it for granted that she was seeing the present, but she wasn't. She was seeing the future.
You know, I never really thought it would happen. I still can't believe it.
She believes it. Don't you, eh?
I can see so much of Jen in her.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She certainly is. She's everything we've always wanted. She's a beautiful, healthy baby.
In a small churchyard beneath a perfect summer sky, two people look down into an open grave, 6 feet deep. One of them is crying, the other is beyond tears. And the coffin is very, very small. In that sad little prophetic tale, Helena Breck played poor Jenny, and her mother was Diana Olsen. Leslie was played by Karen Archer, and her husband was John Sampson. The ambulance man was Anthony Jackson. Victoria Carling was the radio presenter, Paul Gregory, the man being interviewed, and Brian Hewlett was the policeman. Every detail but one was written by Bert Coombs and directed by Jerry Jones. My name is Edward D'Souza, the man in black, and I invite you to return next week for story number 7, a lucky number, it is said, for some.
And there's another chance to hear every detail but one on Wednesday evening at 6:30. Next Sunday at 7:30, the man in black takes us to France when he'll tell a story set by the River Fontainebleau. In half an hour's time, the story of Jessica. But now it's time for this week's edition of Bookshelf with Nigel Ford.